This is the Happy Station, broadcasting to North and South America on 9,955 kilohertz from 1 to 155 UTC and from 15 to 1555 UTC.
This is station PCJ of Philips Radio, broadcasting on 31 meters, our weekly Friday program, which only lasts for 60 minutes.
Estación de la Alegría, The Happy Station Show. At just after 100 hours UTC, welcome again to another edition of The Happy Station Show. Keith Powell here with you for the next 55 minutes. For listeners in South America and the Caribbean on 9955 kilohertz in the 31-meter band, and of course around the world via the website of our relay in the United States, which is WRMI or Radio Miami International. You can also listen to us online at www.wrmi.net. On today's program, my special guest is going to be Peter Anthony Holder. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about him in just a moment, but I also want to tell you that you should pay attention because remember, we have this, you know, contest for the end of the year going, and at any point, our coded message could appear. But first, let's take a listen to Xavier Cugard and his orchestra with Amapola.
We'll be right back.
Amapola, Xavier Cugart and his orchestra beginning today's edition of The Happy Station Show. And if you want to get in touch with us, please do so. Our email is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. Now, my special guest on today's show is Peter Anthony Holder. Now, who is Peter Anthony Holder? Now, some of our listeners in South America may not know that name. Unless you tune to 6070 kilohertz, which is the shortwave frequency for CFRB in Toronto. Peter, who's based in Montreal for 20 years, hosted Holder Tonight that was on CJD. And for about 3 years, it was relayed on CFRB in Toronto, hence the shortwave frequency. And then in the month of August, Peter, as he put it, was fired from CJD along with a group of other announcers. But Peter is back. And he's back with something extremely interesting. And for those who've never listened to Holder Tonight, this is going to be a treat because it is the kind of show that you would certainly remember. And he's back now with a podcast, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And it's a podcast that I highly recommend for all of you out there who suffer from mental problems. And I mean that in the most loving and kind way possible. But first, a little bit more music. Here's Heavenly Action and Erasure.
Found out I was standing in your fire.
Heavenly Action and Erasure here on the International Happy Station Show. And there was our coded message. As I said, it could appear at any time in the program. And it's not important that you know what Morse code is, meaning that you know what the message is, but what's more important is that you heard the message. So send in the time that you heard it, and what came before it, and what came after it, to the following email address, pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And please include your address so I can send you out a QSL verification card to show that you have entered the lucky draw. You can also send it via snail mail. The address is Happy Station, 8th floor, number 47, lane 31, section 1, Sanmin Road. That's S-A-N, M like mother, I like Ivan, N like Norman Road, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC22070. And I'll be giving out the address later on in the show as well. Now, the prizes actually that we're giving away are going to be for the second broadcast on December 31st, 2009. So not the one that you're listening to now at 100 UTC, which, by the way, because of the time change coming up, will be 2 hours UTC, but instead will be heard on what is now the 15 hours UTC broadcast, but on December 31st will be 16 hours UTC, and will be 2 hours, and we'll be doing the show from Hong Kong. The prizes are, number one, the first prize is a Sanjen ATS-909 receiver going out to one lucky winner. Second prize, a Sanjen ATS-606A going out to one lucky winner. The third prize are all three books from Jerry Berg about international shortwave broadcasting. The fourth prize is a one-year membership to Communication, the monthly magazine by the BDXC. And the fifth prize is for 10 lucky winners, and it's going to be a copy each of Tom Meyer's CD, Easy Come, Easy Go. So enter right away. And by the way, if you didn't have time to write that snail mail address down, if you want to send it the old-fashioned way, don't worry, because I'll be giving out that later on at the end of the show. Now, I told you that my guest today is Peter Anthony Holder. So who is Peter Anthony Holder? Well, Peter Anthony Holder hails from Montreal. For 20 years, he hosted Holder Tonight on CJAD, and at the same time, people may or may not know this, but Peter also worked as a broadcaster with Radio Canada International for about 8 years, reading news and all that kind of thing. But then, in the month of August, Peter was fired along with a group of other announcers at CJAD, but then he came back with a show called The Stuff File. Now, The Stuff, by the way, is not S-T-U-F-F, but S-T-U-P-H, which is S-T-U Peter Holder File. He's stuffing it to us now, isn't he? All right, now, if you want to know what Holder Tonight was like as a show, the best way, of course, to listen to it is The Stuff File podcast. So let's take a listen to the opening of his very first Stuff File show.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's radio that doesn't fly through the air. Coming from your computer and right into your ear, it's the Stuff File podcast with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and this is indeed the inaugural edition of the Stuff File Podcast. And we have a lot coming your way in this one-hour program. We'll have a chat with Mitch Joel, president of Twist Image and the author of Six Pixels of Separation. He's also a podcaster and blogger himself, and he liked our old radio show.
You had an amazing show for 20 years, and then I say had, and I go, why had? You can continue having an amazing show. That's the power of these new media channels, and I'm happy you're diving in.
We'll meet Robert Barrows, the creator of the video-enhanced grave marker. What's playing at a cemetery near you?
One, I'm a sculptor, and I work in stone. And when you start carving a rectangular piece of stone, you can't help but thinking that you're carving your own tombstone. And I also run an ad agency, so I do television commercials all the time. And you put the two together, you've got a video tombstone.
We'll check the mailbag.
Incoming subspace signal.
And we'll also have a visit with Steve Walsh, our man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation.
Have you ever noticed when you go to the break room at work and just want to get a cup of coffee or something quick to eat, and there's the office slowpoke in front of you? It takes them 20 minutes to make a cup of coffee. I can't stand these people, can you? Hi, this is Steve Walsh. You know your guy in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. Hey, we're back, and you're going to want to stick around for my two-minute tirade. It's coming up later on right here on the Stuff File Podcast with Peter Anthony Holder.
And, of course, there's stuff. Plenty of stuff, because the show is called The Stuff File. And if you are trying to remember how to spell stuff, it's not spelled the standard way. It's S-T-U-P-H. That's what we call a stuff file. An eclectic mix of interviews, stories, and bizarre goings-on that we like to share. Something we used to do on the radio program, and now we do it here on the podcast. Now, as I said, this is the very first edition of the Stuff File Podcast. I'm hoping that there'll be plenty more to come. As you heard in the slate, it's actually 0001. I think it's pretty ambitious on my part to have a four-digit number, because I don't know if I'll get to 1,000 podcasts, but we'll see. We're going to try and do this podcast for you once a week. It'll be an hour-long program. Every once in a while, you might get an extra one. We'll see how it goes, and we'll see how people accept this. I'd also like to, right off the bat, thank all the folks who sent me emails and letters and notes in Facebook talking about what happened to me at the radio station and the fact that we're no longer doing that radio show after a 20-year run. It was a good run while it lasted. And all your heartfelt wishes meant a lot to me, so that's why I decided to try and at least keep the stuff file going in some way, shape, or form. Don't know how it'll work out, but we'll give it a try. And as I said, this is the inaugural program, so it's a work in progress. Shall we get to the stuff file? Yes, let's do that right now. We start off with a story from Uniontown, Pennsylvania. A Pennsylvania history buff who recreates firearms from old wars accidentally fired a 2-pound cannonball through the wall of his neighbor's home. William Mazur, who was 54, fired a cannonball outside his house in Georgia's township that ricocheted and hit a house 400 yards away. The cannonball, about 2 inches in diameter, smashed through a window and a wall before landing in a closet. Authorities said nobody was hurt. State police charged Mazur with reckless endangerment, criminal mischief, and disorderly conduct. Is it really criminal mischief? I don't know. Anyway, he said that he was recreating 19th century cannons because it was a long-time hobby. You always hear that term, somebody says, you know, you should get a hobby. Maybe this guy shouldn't. I don't know. He said he is sorry that he will now stop shooting them from his property, which is about 35 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. So once again, Pittsburgh is safe. Meanwhile,
and that was the opening to Peter Anthony Holder's The Stuff File podcast, which you can find at a number of places. You can go to Blogspot, and I'll read out the URL for you later on, as well as the other ways that you can hear it as well. But I managed to get in touch with Peter to talk to him about the new stuff file and to talk about a whole bunch of other wacky things, including chickens falling down wells. And I have to tell you, it is the first time that I've ever laughed so hard during any interview, and you will understand why.
Well, the radio show that I did for 20 years included a segment called The Stuff File, which is a play on words on my initials, basically. It was just a lot of stuff that I wanted to put together, and I changed the double F to a PH because that's my first and last initial. And I created a blog a couple of years ago called The Stuff File, so it just seemed to be an extension of what I was doing, plus the fact that when I got such an outpouring from the audience about the show's demise, or even before that with Facebook and whatnot, people always talked about the segments of the show they liked the best, and the one that kept coming up the most was The Stuff File. So I figured, well, if I'm going to create a radio show or a podcast that's a bit like the radio show, it seems that would be the ultimate title to go with. Because you initially alluded to the fact that the show was called the Peter Anthony Holder Show, and it was not. The show was called Holder Tonight. I've never been a fan of shows named after people, or at least certainly named after me. So I was never going to call the podcast the Peter Anthony Holder Podcast, because I never called the radio show the Peter Anthony Holder Show. So it needed an alternative name, and The Stuff File seemed to be the best way to go.
But Peter, you know, you can understand why a lot of people would call it, of course, the Peter Anthony Holder Show.
Well, that's for like years and years and years. People refer to The Tonight Show as the Johnny Carson Show, but it wasn't. It was The Tonight Show, or the same thing when Jay Leno took over.
So from the time that you left CJD and to when you started doing the first show, how did you get the concept for it? Was it pretty much taking over some of the material that you did on Holder Tonight, or did you try to come up with something totally different?
Well, the concept's pretty much the same. The only thing that I've added is a mailbag section, because I've got to gear it a little bit toward more the net. I mean, when you consider the radio audience that you have over terrestrial radio, a certain percentage of people who are listening to you on radio and also on the net are net savvy. But by the very fact that it's a podcast, you can pretty well guarantee that almost 100% of the people who are listening are internet savvy. So I hope to incorporate some of that to a certain degree. But outside of that, it won't change. It's very reminiscent of the radio show. I was on the radio 5 days a week for 3 hours a day. And this is a once-a-week, one-hour podcast. So just think of it as a capsulized 1/15th version of what I did for 20 years.
You must have been overwhelmed with messages. I was checking out the website for the Montreal Gazette, and there were over 350 messages from an interview that you gave the Gazette.
Actually, that's a little backwards. There were 350 messages to a news story about my being released from the radio station, which caused the Gazette to contact me to do a story. Now, there may indeed have been 350 more messages. I believe there was a high number in relationship to the response when I actually spoke to the Gazette. But the initial call the Gazette made to me was because of earlier response to their initial news story.
So how much time from when you left CJD to the podcast did it take you to even come up with the idea for the podcast? Or was it like a week later or the next day? Or was the podcast just put together very quickly?
The podcast was always an idea that was in the back of my mind, only because over the years, people would send me emails saying, we like your show, we like to hear the show, but we wish there were certain elements of it, if not the show itself, that was in a podcast form, because the show here locally was airing from midnight to 3 in the morning. And there are people who said, gee, we'd like to be able to take it with us to work or hear it other times of the day. So I always thought of the idea of doing a podcast. It just never came up that I was going to actually do one, because I was engulfed in doing the show on a regular basis, plus some of the other things I was doing. I was also hosting a television show here and locally, and so I had a full plate. There was no time for a podcast. But after the show's demise, people again kept saying, we hope you show up on radio soon. If not, can you at least do a podcast? So I figured for the fans of the show, I would put something together. So to answer your initial question, it was always in the back of my mind, but I waited several weeks before I actually ever made an attempt to put together some sort of format.
Now, the first edition went out this past week. What has been the reaction so far?
So far, it's been all positive. But then again, there were some very rabid fans out there who enjoyed the show, so I knew I'd hear from them. It's Lex starting all over again because I have to build up an audience. I mean, I have to get the word out. There are those who are going to follow me wherever I go, but there are those who, let's be honest, who might not even know that I'm still not on CJAD. I was let go in August. People were on vacation. There are some people who are still sending me Facebook messages saying, "Where are you?" So it's going to take some time to build up an audience again.
Do you think at the same time, because it's being streamed over the internet, it also gives you the opportunity to get an audience that you may have not had before, a different type of audience?
That's entirely possible. Yes, absolutely.
So just give me an idea. We're going to take a listen to a clip from the show in a little bit, but like if somebody who has never heard of The Stuff File or has never heard of Holder Tonight, what could they expect? Or is it to expect the unexpected?
Well, if anybody's been in the news business, I'll speak to them first. It's a show filled with kicker stories. And kicker stories, for those who aren't in the news business, if you ever watch a local newscast, those were always the news stories that usually came at the very end of the story, which had kind of wacky tales or interesting things. So what The Stuff File is basically a collection of the wackier news stories that are out there put together that never get the time of day. They usually get maybe the last story on a newscast or a radio cast. And in some cases, I will take some of those Stuff File stories and maybe even contact people who are involved in said stories to talk about it a little more. Well, in the first show, if you've heard it, as you said, we talked to a guy who creates video tombstones. Kind of weird, kind of different. That's the kind of thing I like to talk about. We also talked to Mitch Joel, who is a podcaster himself, and because I'm now on the web, I will talk to some people. That's the one thing that will be a little different from the radio show. I will talk to more web-based people as well, because people who are on the web are always interested about other people who are on the web, so I will focus a little bit more on that. That's probably the only thing that's slightly different. But basically, we're just trying to have some fun. That's the bottom line.
I don't know if this was fate or what it was, but after I heard the first Stuff File, that afternoon I was reading one of the Taiwan newspapers here in the country that are in English, and there was a story in there that I will clip and send it to you because it is so odd. There was a woman, I think you'll love this, she was picked up for shoplifting. Now, it's how she was caught. First, she shoplifted a dress. It didn't fit, so she tried to return it and get an exchange.
Right.
And when I listen to your show, it makes me wonder sometimes, like, some people just really, I don't know what they're thinking. I just have no idea sometimes. And I think you do a good job at showing the other side to human behavior, which I think a lot of people are embarrassed about.
Well, there was a story. You talk about shoplifting. I mean, there was a story in The Stuff File in that first show about a woman who tried to take a 24-can case of beer from a cooler by wedging the case between her thighs and pulling down her dress and then basically trying to waddle out of the store with 24 beers between her legs. Now, the first thing I think of is this woman's got incredible thigh muscles, for starters. And also incredible chutzpah to think that she could get away with it.
Let me ask you. I mean, when you've been doing this kind of thing and talking about these stories, do you ever wonder, like, something's wrong with people? Something's wrong with society? I mean, it's the kind of thing, like, you hear these stories that I heard on Holder Tonight and the ones you mentioned in The Stuff File, and it's the kind of thing, like, you know it happens. Because you hear about these kind of things all the time, but it's almost kind of unbelievable in some ways.
Oh, as the saying goes, truth is stranger than fiction. There are days when I say, no way, that's not possible. But then each time I say that, another day will come along and I'll say, well, I topped that last story. I can't believe this is out there too.
What is the most outrageous thing that to this day And you'll remember until when you're like 90 years old, you'll think back and you'll say, you know, I still remember that story.
Oh, gosh. By the way, there are books out there that are written that people have collected. And maybe one of these days I'll do the same myself, because there are books of stories like this that have been collected over the years. And there are some great books. Uncle John's Bathroom Readers, for instance, are a classic example of some of the stuff that's out there from from news that you can read in books. But there was one story that I remember, and I believe it took place in the Middle East. It may have been Egypt, where a chicken fell down a well. And before I tell the story, a lot of the stories, unfortunately, deal with the demise of people, the silly demise of people, which is something else we do called the Darwin file, because we often say the tree of life is often self-pruning. The Darwin file, people who leave this mortal coil in the most bizarre, strange ways. This was a classic example. A chicken went down a well, and some guy went down the well to save the chicken. And he got stuck and drowned. Five other people went into the well to try to save the previous people who went into the well. They all drowned. Here's the kicker to the story. The chicken lived. I will never forget that story.
Oh, I mean, there's definitely enough material out there.
And the reason why I mentioned books is because I remember when I first read that story on the air several years ago, it made me laugh hysterically. But then I found a book about a year or so later, and I collect a lot of these stories, and I collect a lot of these books that collect these stories. And that was in one of the books that I found. I'd already used it on the air about a year earlier. But it was also the subject of one of the first stories. So I will never forget that story.
Do you get stories sent into you by listeners?
I do, but to be honest, I don't use them for the simple reason I like to make sure, because there are a lot of stories out there that are also made up. And there are a lot of stories that I won't read because I'm just not sure and I can't find a credible source to back up the story, either a local newspaper, because sometimes, let's be honest, even the news service can be fooled.
Well, you know, speaking of news services being fooled, I don't know if you heard about this, but there's this one video that's circulating around YouTube about a Dutch TV announcer that starts cracking up because some guy had an operation and he's speaking with this incredibly high voice.
Right.
And
yes.
The video goes on and on and on. And it, you know what? Anderson Cooper on CNN 360 reported on this video as something that actually happened. Now, with anybody with half a brain would realize that actually this is from a television comedy show from Belgium, and the DVDs are being sold everywhere on the internet, even at Amazon.com.
So there you go.
But yet, the thing is, what's funny is, this is the funny part, is there's people out there who still insist that it really happened and still insist that it's real.
Right.
Even though, last year, I saw an interview with the guy, the actor who played that character, and he says, it's not real, we created this in 2002, blah, 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 and it's amazing. Some people even came out later and said, no, you were paid to say that because this really happened.
By the way, while we were just talking, I went to my bookcase here and found the book that I was talking about. So I'll give a plug to this book, because the book is called Six Drowned Saving Chicken. And the subtitle of the book is the subtitle of the. I know it still gets me too. And the subtitle of the book is "And Other True Stories from the Reuters, Oddly Enough File." And by the way, this book is by Reuters. But that story was the one that always got me.
That's hysterical. Oh God!
And if you go to my which is where this started. If you go to my blog, you will find stories there in the stuff file, or in the vein of the stuff file, which is how I started the blog in the first place. I would take a stuff file story and add my own spin to the facts of the story, which is how the stuff file began as a blog in the first place. And you know, so there are all kinds of stories there on my blog about just like this, going back to when I first started the blog back in 2007.
You know, there's something funny that happened a few years ago on BBC News. They had scheduled an interview with somebody, but whoever was the production assistant at that day brought the wrong person into the studio for the live interview. The guy happened to be a London taxi driver waiting for to pick up somebody, and he was waiting in the lobby. The production assistant brought him to the newsroom, put him in a chair, and put a mic on him. And I think it was Stephen Cole or somebody, one of the newsreaders who's no longer there, who's now at Al Jazeera, introduced this guy who was somebody else and asked him the question. The guy just sat there with this look on his face, and the surprising thing, he answered, and it was only after about 2 minutes where they realized this is the wrong guy.
I know that person's not working
anymore. Oh. But it's you know, these stories, I think, you know, here in Taiwan, occasionally I would tune into your show at CJD, because here, with the internet streaming from CJD, it was at 12 in the afternoon.
Right.
So it was a good time for me to listen. and some of the things, it was incredibly funny. And when I listened to the stuff file, you know, there's definitely a need for this kind of thing. I think that a lot of radio has just gotten a bit too serious, and to hear stuff like this, like, you know, oddities in the news or whatever you want to call it, there's definitely a need for it, especially with all the same generic stuff that we hear 24 hours a day and on almost every other news station.
Yeah, and, you know, the sad reality is, because some people would complain about the stuff I was saying, oh, gosh, you're just talking about the misfortunes of people, and you're poking fun at people, and you're looking down at the situations that are affecting people in life and laughing at it. And when you think about it, is there ever a joke besides a knock-knock joke that doesn't have somebody, or why the chicken crossed the road, that doesn't have somebody who is the butt of it? I mean, isn't that what humor is about? You know, going back to the original man falling on a banana peel. You laugh at that, but a man fell. It's always at somebody's expense.
Well, that's just the way it is. I mean, it's interesting that you say that, because some of the, if you look at films, like some of the classic silent films were always about somebody injuring themselves, either falling off the top of a building or falling into a cement mixer or whatever. And it just, do you think that as a society, because we, I know this is probably reading too much into it, but why do you think that is? Why do you think we find this humor in these kind of situations?
There, but for the grace of God, go I. That could easily be me. And to be honest, the only people who seem to rail against it the most are the ones who are incapable of laughing at themselves. I've often said on the radio, I do this stuff file story, and karma's going to come back and get me in a strange way. I know that when I die, it'll be in some strange bathtub incident or some bizarre way. My demise will come in a stuff file related situation. And someone will say, you see, he shouldn't have done all that.
No, I think
it's not what he deserves.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's true to about the thing that a lot of people take themselves too seriously. One of my listeners asked me the question. They said, why would you revive a show that has been off the air for 15 years that started way back in 1928? And I said, well, because I'm an idiot. no sane person would do such a thing.
Well, everything that's old is new again. Wait till maybe the new GM will bring back the fins.
and Ford will bring back the Model T. But actually,
oh,
you know.
Edsel.
Oh, the Edsel.
Edsel.
You know, speaking of the Edsel, I just found a DVD recently, which is incredibly funny. It was from the Edsel show. And I can't believe they put it on DVD. And you look at this car, and it is odd looking, I have to say, even for
well,
that time.
I'm going to defend the car. That car was beautiful in its day. The Edsel was beautiful in its day, and it would have been a great car if it worked. That's the problem. It was technically flawed, but I don't think it was flawed from the point of view of design. And everyone marveled at the car when it came out, and Ford was so excited about the car that he named it after his son. I mean, his son's name was Edsel Ford. So he had a pride in that car. It just didn't work out. You know, I mean, thankfully, they've had more mistakes over the years to eradicate that error. You know, the exploding Pinto comes to mind.
I wonder if there was a chicken inside.
Well, that would be a barbecue chicken.
A barbecue chicken. Let me. Okay, this is getting a bit silly, but let me ask you something else. I mean, on the show that you did for 20 years, you had a number of celebrities that came on the show. Are you planning to do the same thing with the stuff file?
Well, to be honest, one of the situations that is going to be a bit difficult. I mean, I was on two radio stations, which was basically two stations that could be heard, two of the largest stations in both major cities, Montreal and Toronto. And at the time of night I was on, those two stations' signals carried quite a ways to the point where I could probably be heard in all of eastern Canada and part of three border states. So that was an interesting and amazing draw in that I could say to people in L.A. or New York, you want to be on the show? Here's how large our audience is.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily the situation that I have now with a podcast. It's starting from scratch and starting with one listener at a time. But having said that, I've built up enough goodwill with a lot of the PR people that I've dealt with in L.A. and New York and some other places that I might still get celebrities on the show because people have always enjoyed my interviewing style. So the answer to the question is yes, I'll probably still get celebrities, maybe not to the degree of the celebrities that I've had on the show in the past. But also, having said that, while I've had a fair number of very interesting celebrities, I've always been most interested in talking to people who are not necessarily the biggest stars, but who are working actors and actresses, singers, dancers, whatever the case may be, who have an interesting story to tell. And a lot of them will still probably be willing to come on anyway. I'll give you one example. I had an interview with an actress by the name of Yvette Nicole Brown, who is a really fine working journeyman actress who's been in a lot of television commercials and television shows and movies and bit parts. I sent her she's also one of my friends on Facebook, like so many people are, because Facebook is the social network of the world. You and I are friends on Facebook. And I sent her a message saying, I have been fired and the show's not on anymore, but I'm starting a podcast, but I'd like to know if you'd be interested in being a guest on our show, because she's on a brand new show on NBC in North America called Community, which also stars Chevy Chase. I said, would you be interested in being a guest on the show? Well, she can say no, because now she is a regular on a hit comedy show. But she sent me a nice little note saying, my schedule is very, very tight, but you were one of the fun interviews I did in the last year. If we can work out in the schedule, I'll be glad to be on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of thing I hope to do.
You know, on some of the interviews that you've done before are up at your website, peteranthonyholder.com. Is that the place where people can log on to listen to the stuff file?
They can go to peteranthonyholder.com. They could also go to my blog,
mm-hmm.
which they can find as well, which is peteranthonyholder.blogspot.com. They can mm-hmm. find it there. And they will be able to find it on iTunes as well.
Oh, right. Okay. So all they have to do then is subscribe to it, and they can automatically download it in iTunes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if they just Google my name, Peter Anthony Holder, they'll most certainly find it.
And when is each new show going to come out?
I'd like to do one once a week. And so it would be nice for each week to each Monday to have one available. Ironically, when I finish talking to you, I will be putting together the second blog or podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All the components are done. I'm still writing the stuff file because I try to keep that as fresh as possible. And the next one will definitely be available by Monday, if not earlier.
Here's one final question. For myself, when I revive the Happy Station, I find it quite gratifying to be my own boss and my own manager. Do you find the same thing with doing the podcast, that you don't have to deal with office politics anymore?
Well, one of the things I was never one to deal with office politics, you know, and one of the questions that came up when the idea of doing a podcast, people would always say, and I plan to address this issue in this week's mailbag section on the show, as a matter of fact. I got messages over the last little while, both before I started the podcast and after I was released from CJD, that, you know, if you do a podcast, you'll be your own boss. You can push the envelope even further. You can do the things you could never do on CJD. And I got to say, there's not really a lot I couldn't do on CJD. My own sensibilities are such that I don't use profanity. I don't talk to people who use profanity as guests. I coach people saying there will be no profanity on the radio when I did the radio show, and it's going to be the same thing with the podcast. As far as content is concerned, on the radio show, there really wasn't anything I couldn't talk about. So that's not going to change, per se. So it's not going to differ. I mean, when I did the show for 20 years, I did it for the most part. There were a few periods because, I mean, I went through different management through the course of the 20 years, and different management had different ideas. But for the most part, I was not bothered or pestered as to what should or should not be on the show. The content was never questioned for the most part. Certainly, in the last 3 years that I was doing the show on both CJD and CFRB, I was doing exactly what I wanted to. And nobody complained one way or the other in management to me about that.
Peter Anthony Holder, thanks a lot for joining us here on the Happy Station Show. It's actually been a lot of fun to talk to you again. I think the last time we spoke was maybe 18 or 19 years ago.
Oh, good Lord.
And I remember the office. I remember you sitting in the office and you had all the hair and everything. And
yeah, that was many, many years ago when I was working at Radio Canada International, which I would actually say is part of the most interesting and also darkest part of my career. I was not a fan of the CBC bureaucracy, and that's not to say I'm knocking the CBC. Here in Canada, there's private radio and there's public radio, and if you're indoctrinated in one, you're usually not a fan of the other, and that's not to say I look down on the CBC. I do not. It's just that I'm a private radio kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's pretty much the case. I mean, even in the UK, friends of mine who work in UK radio said, you know, that people that work in commercial radio are not interested in working at the BBC because it's the bureaucracy and everything. And usually, people that work at the BBC don't really want to work in commercial radio.
Exactly. So it's the same thing here.
Yeah. Peter Anthony Holder, thanks a lot for joining us on the Happy Station. It's been a pleasure to talk to you today.
It's nice to talk to you, too. Get the word out about the podcast and the blog. And people can also sign up and be my friend on Facebook. I'm there, Peter Anthony Holder.
And if you want to catch the Stuff File online, Peter Anthony Holder's new podcast, the URL you can check out is http://PeterAnthonyHolder.blogspot.com. You can also check out his own website, PeterAnthonyHolder.com. And the Stuff File is also uploaded on the same web server where all the Happy Station shows are located, which is www.radioforall.net. Just do a search for Peter Anthony Holder or the Stuff File, and you can listen to it there. All right, we've actually come to the end of this edition of the Happy Station Show. Once again, I want to remind you to enter the lucky draw for the contest that we will have at the end of the year. And if you didn't have time to write down the address to send your entry in via the old-fashioned way of snail mail, the address, once again, is Happy Station, 8th floor, that's 8th floor, number 47, Lane, L-A-N-E, 31, Lane, 31, Section 1, S-E-C-T-I-O-N, 1, Section 1, Sanmin Road, that's S-A, N like Norman, M like Mother, I like Ivan, N like Norman Road, Sanmin Road, Taipei, Taiwan, ROC 22070. And if you didn't have time to write that down, just check out the website for WRMI, which is www.wrmi.net. Click on the Happy Station and you'll find the information there. And of course, you can also enter via email. Our email address is pcj.happystation@gmail.com. That's pcj.happystation@gmail.com. And please remember to include your postal address, even if you're sending an email, so we can send out a QSL card to you as well. All right. Do we have time, Kevin? Yes, we do have time. Kevin is nodding at me, and so is Johan, saying I should run down the prizes again. Okay, the first prize, Sanjen ATS-909. Second prize, Sanjen ATS-606A. The third prize are the three books from Jerry Berg about international shortwave broadcasting. The fourth prize is a one-year membership to the magazine Communication by the BDXC. And the fifth prize is 10 CDs going out to 10 lucky winners of Tom Meyer's recording of Easy Come, Easy Go, songs that he recorded for the Happy Station in the 1970s and 80s. All right, that's it. That's all. Time to leave you. So until next week, friends, this is Keith Pallon all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.
This is the Happy Station.
That's what happiness is. Happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness is. Different things to different people. That's what happiness is.
Happiness is the Happy Station, bringing you some weekly peace, cheer, and joy. Remember that? Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and I hope that you will join me Thursdays at 1 and 15 hours UTC for the Happy Station and La Estación de la Alegría, right here via Radio Miami International.
Happiness is, happiness is, happiness is, happiness.